So our message is going to be a little bit different today. I'm Barbara Fode. I think I introduced myself before, and I'm inviting Alicia up because we're going to do a conversation sermon of sorts. When we planned this, we knew that Alicia was going to be getting home fairly late, so we didn't want her to do a sermon, but I think you got home really, really late. What happened?
My traveling was interesting when I came and left England. When I got there, my luggage did not get there, so I spent a day with just what I had carried on the plane. But on the way home, I got into JFK Airport an hour late, which was okay, except for my flight from JFK to Syracuse was first delayed and then canceled. So last night I drove from JFK. I rented a car and drove here and got here about 12:30 a.m. Now, because I am not shy, I turned to the line who all had their flight canceled and said, I'm going to be driving to Syracuse and I'm not opposed to anyone riding with me. And one person rode with me.
But how many hours had you been up then?
I don't even know. I can't figure that out.
Well, we're glad you're here. And we have a little gift for you to open as we begin.
Thank you.
And you're supposed to open that.
I have gifts for some as well, but, well, my mom especially. All right. I can't wait to see what this is. I'm so excited. Oh, I see the bottom. Dude, where's my church? And it's John Wesley. The younger years. Dude, where's my church? And then on the back it says, do all the good you can.
Which you have already done in offering your car as a ride back. Well,
yes.
We're glad you're back.
And John Wesley has a rainbow stole on in this image. I don't know if that's true to form, but it's awesome. Thank you.
So we heard about Wesley's heartwarming experience.
Yes.
And I have been privileged to be in England and went to Aldersgate and the chapel and his house and all. How was that for you to really be at the place where all this started?
Sure. So I actually provided some pictures of where the Aldersgate experience happened. And we have camps named after Aldersgate because of this experience. But what struck me is how ordinary a place this is. It's just on the street. You're like just walking and there's a plaque. John Wesley had his heart warmed here. And it's just ordinary. And it reminded me of how ordinary folks can do extraordinary things with God. And we don't have to go to a special place to have our hearts warmed or be loved by God or be struck by God and have this epiphany, like, I can do this, or I can do this with God. So, or I feel loved by God.
A great sermon that right there. So I saw that you, and I didn't get to do this, you got to hold Wesley's journal?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
okay, so did you skip one? I think I didn't write anything down here. So if anyone knows this about me, I am a complete nerd. Okay, someone said yes, I know.
About Wesley.
And a lot of other things, but yes, about John Wesley. So I can't even believe this happened. Like, I left and was like, I can't even. So this is John Ryland's library in Manchester, England. And my professor, Dr. Chris Evans, who came out of this church, by the way, he was a fellow last summer. And so he was able to make connections with archivists and did a lot of research with first sources, and so they brought out these things, and one was John Wesley's journal when he went to Georgia. And so first I'm holding it, and so some of the other women are like, what's juicy in there? And we didn't even have to turn a page because it was like a soap opera talking about his love it was very juicy. If anyone doesn't know, John Wesley fell in love with a woman in Georgia when he came, and there was a big scandal because she decided she didn't want to be with him, and he was all upset, and a bunch of other stuff happened, and he kind of went back to England with his tail between his legs. So it was really juicy. But also there was I didn't hold it, I just turned the page, of Charles Wesley's handwritten hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Ooh.
I was just like, yeah, so it was great.
Let me just jump back. You said your professor came to this church?
Yes, he did, yes. Chris Evans in the 1980s.
Wow.
He didn't grow up here. He came here worked with Hal Garman and then got the call.
Okay.
And yeah.
Something I didn't
yep.
know. So the theme today is means of grace.
Yes.
And Wesley talked about prevenient grace, and I'm not sure I quite get that, but how come that is so important to Methodists?
So grace is very important, and so I'm going to read what was in John Wesley's journal the night he had that epiphany experience on that ordinary road called Aldersgate. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to, who has that on Sunday morning? I could go or not go. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistles of the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken my sins away, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And so for me, grace is always there. God is always waiting at the door, like the father in the story of the prodigal son, or like I've used the metaphor of walking into a store where the doors open as soon as so God is always there ready for those doors to open, and all we need to do is say, yes, I accept you, God.
And I think if I remember, Wesley had grown up in the church.
Yes.
His dad was a preacher. He'd been preaching this experience.
He was a priest in the Church of England before this experience.
Right.
Yes.
So this was his real conversion
kind of
experience. So it can knock any of us at any time,
yes.
I guess. So I did see in your post on Facebook that a lot of the churches there, like we, are very involved in the community
yes.
with food pantries and things like that. And is this part of their kind of understanding of
yes.
their sharing grace?
Yes. So I think So this is a church. This church reminded me so much of our own church. Walked inside. It wasn't quite as high ceilings, but it was very high ceilings, very traditional, beautiful stained glass. But they had changed their entryway into a cafe. So Monday through probably Saturday, they had a cafe where folks could come in and have coffee and interact with volunteers. It was volunteer run. And they felt as though, and I feel as though, we need to meet people where they're at. These experiences like John Wesley's on a street doesn't always happen on a Sunday morning. Sometimes it happens over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and it doesn't mean that it's any different or any less valid. It's still God's love touching us. So yes, they and I feel as though we meet people where they're at, share God's love, and then continue to build that relationship. So they within all the many contexts, we saw how people were doing that, whether it was a food pantry, a cafe, etc.
One of the things that just really humbled me when I was there is you would go to a church, and there would be a sign that it would say, worship services have been held at this location for 1,000
yes.
years, you know, tracing our lineage back to what Anglicans and the Roman Catholics. But one worship service, I know you did several.
Yep.
Can you give us one snapshot
yes.
of something that was meaningful for you?
So I forgot it. I left it in my bag in my office, but St. Paul's Cathedral. In London, I have gone to more worship services and had more communion in the last 2 weeks, I think, than in the last year. It was great. St. Paul's, we had traveled to London early. We left Manchester early, 2-hour train ride to London. We learned about this place, this church called Fresh Grounds. And then we were let loose on London, and we did all, you know, a quick, oh, here's this, here's that, here's this. And then our whole goal was to go to Evensong at St. Paul's. And so we went to St. Paul's, and if you go in, it's for a worship service, it's free. So we planned that well. But you can't take pictures inside, so I wasn't able to send a picture of it from inside. We got to sit in the choir, which means, I don't know, has anyone ever seen Prince Harry was married or Prince William, and like there's where the commoners sit, and then there's the fancy part that's like all wood and stuff. That's the choir, and that's where we sat. So I was just tired and just taking it in, and the bulletin read exactly what you're saying. People have been worshiping here for 1,000 years, and now you are a part of this tradition. And I just felt like, wow, how inclusive, how very inclusive. But within that service, I just kind of, it was all sung. There was only a few spoken parts. The choir, which sung beautifully, just everything was sung. It was so beautiful. And during the prayers, when the priest was speaking, I actually kind of nodded off because I was hot and I was tired. And I just felt this peace rush over me, and I just closed my eyes, and I didn't feel guilty about closing them. And even though I fell asleep, I still heard the prayers like in the background of my consciousness. And as soon as he said Amen, I woke up and I was renewed. It was so amazing. I felt this peace over me. So,
well, we've got to wrap it up.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
One message you feel like God is giving us here at University Church?
So I was told 10 words, but mine is 18. I wrote it down. We must continue to hold on dearly to our heritage while also remain diligent in our current context.
Read that one more time.
Sure.
It's worth reading again.
We must continue to hold on dearly to our heritage while also remain diligent in our current context.
Amen. Yes. That'll preach. Thank you. Welcome,
you're welcome.
Home.
Thank you.
And the next two Sundays.
Yes, three.
The next three Sundays, you're going to be preaching on Wesley and Wesley Theology.
Yes.
So bring a friend, come back. We will hear more then.
Yes.